From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Matt Bennett in Windsor from TGM will be along to talk about the cash grain situation. In agricultural news, German lawmakers have approved a reform to help salvage the financial stability of the European Union. Others must jump in and approve as well. And a report from Feeding America says food banks and their related food pantries have moved from being a stopgap provider to a chronic hunger relief system. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures were higher for the day. December soft red winter wheat at $6.54 and a quarter, up 15.5 cents. July at $7 and a nickel for next year. The new crop up 13 and a quarter. Hard red in Kansas City at $7.59 and a half, a finish of 11.5 cents higher. December corn back in Chicago $6.32 and a half, up 1 3/4. March up 1 3/4 as well, settled at $6.45 and 3/4. May corn $6.53 and a quarter, up 1 1/2. July at $6.58 and a half, up 2. And December futures, $5.83 and a half. That's for next year, up 2 1/4. November beans, $12.30, 6 1/2 higher. January at $12.41 and a quarter, 5 3/4 higher. The March at $12.49 and 3/4, up 6. May at $12.55 and 3/4, 6 higher. July soybeans, $12.64 and a half, up 6 cents. And next year's November at $12.39 and a half, 8 cents higher. December bean meal futures at $3.21.50, up 1.60. And December bean oil futures at $51.95, 19 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $120.40, unchanged. December at $121.25, up 40 cents. September feeder cattle at $132.97 and a half, up 32 and a half cents. October on out were lower, down 22 and a half in the October at $139.40 for the day. October of lean hogs at $90.37 and a half per 100 pounds, finished $1.60 higher. This is the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $82.14 a barrel, 93 cents higher. Ethanol at $2.54 and 7 cents, the lead option up 1 3/10. Natural gas at $3.75 and 7 cents, down 4 2/10. And the heating oil or diesel fuel just about 0.5 cents lower, or 0.5 cent, at $2.81 and 2 cents. Gold futures at $1,615.50 an ounce, down 60 cents. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,994, down just about 15 points at this hour. The dollar at 78.03, up 0.18. The CRB index at 305.96, 2.3 higher for the day. The weather forecast says about a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. We'll be under mostly cloudy skies, a high of 81 degrees. It'll be breezy with west-northwest wind at about 22 to 24 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 48 degrees. Breezy conditions will continue with a northwest wind at 15 to 22. Gust as high as 33 this evening, and then for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. It'll be cool for a daytime high of just 63 degrees. Breezy with gusty winds out of the northwest at 16 to 21 miles an hour. They'll gust to 31. Friday night, clear and cool, 41 degrees with the low. North winds at 8 to 11, gusting to 15. And for Saturday, homecoming here on the Urbana-Champaign campus for the Fighting Illini. Sunny skies for football with a high of 60 degrees, north winds at 9 to 11 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 15. Saturday night, clear and cool, 39 degrees. Sunday, sunny and 65 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line as usual. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about your technical work and the break that we've seen in the marketplace. What kind of damage or support might be in the works?
Well, I think the overnight session, we hit another spot on the retracement charts. For example, December 11 corn went down to the 76.4% retracement level of the July-August advance here at 623. It found support, came back, kind of closed a little higher today, so you do have a little minor reversal to the upside. The other thing is that, of course, you know, Monday's reversal failed, so that's kind of a negative signal, but at least the market tried to put together another reversal to the upside here today. The other thing is that we do have some divergences on the chart when you look at some of these technical indicators. I kind of watch 9-day RSI and a 14-day stochastic. If you could see some follow-through on the charts here tomorrow on corn and maybe manage to go on up above this 200-day moving average, then I think maybe a retracement rally is in the cards. I'm not looking for a big retracement rally, but I do think at least the starts of a retracement rally could definitely unfold. The other thing is you look at seasonal studies. You get into the first week of October, and next week is the first week of October. The seasonals begin to roll to the upside, so it would be seasonally correct to maybe try to get something going on the upside here during the month of October. You know, the trend's down, and if I said it once, I've said it many times this year, the trend is your friend. And, of course, in this instance, the trend right now is in the end user's friend rather than the producer right at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to make mention that you said retracement and that the trend was down. So those two things tell me that there's a rally, but not a rally. There might be a rally higher, but not to new highs, I think, in your thought process.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily rule anything out in this environment. I mean, I think the tomorrow's report, unless there's a a shocker like there was last year, I think it'll be old news 1 minute after the market traded or after the first two ticks at 9:30. Because as a rule, stocks reports kind of explain why you did what you did during the past 30 days rather than what you're going to do during the next 30 days. And you can look at the charts and you can see basically for the last 30 days we've been in decline. So I guess my guess is, if I was going to give a wild guess, is that the stocks reports tomorrow will probably be at the trade guess, if not above the average trade guess, because I think the market is discounting the decline that we saw in the market, is discounting maybe a little larger supply than what the trade was maybe thinking of. So, these numbers ought to be pretty good because we really didn't get a lot of harvest done prior to September 1 this year. So USDA's numbers have a decent shot at being some pretty decent numbers, and we can kind of go forward from there compared to last year with the early bushels that came into the last year's marketing year.
So you suppose that'll show slacking demand, I would guess, over that last month. Is that in large part due to world global economics, and would it also suggest that our exports have just fallen off sharply in this last month?
Well, export demand has been really tough to come by over the past 60 days or so. I mean, especially 30 days ago when we were up in this 780 level, 775 or better on Dease corn, there just really wasn't a buyer around. the function of the market, of course, in price discovery is to go higher to slow demand and to go lower to find demand. And that's, I think, what their process has been. This week's export sales on corn at least were above what we need to do to meet USDA's projections. But for the year, you know, we're running 9% behind a year ago. But that number's coming down a little bit. At the start of the year, we were down 10%. So my guess is that we're going to see a little pickup in export demand with this break in prices.
Far enough down, you say we got a little export demand that may come into play. Do you think that what Germany has done will spread across the rest, and be accepted, I suppose, across the rest of the Eurozone countries? And will they save Greece at this point? And will the marketplace see that as something that is valuable enough to push commodity prices higher?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, from what I can read in between the lines, I think this is another Band-Aid duct tape type situation. I don't think they've resolved anything. I think temporarily they've maybe resolved something, but nobody's really did anything bold yet in the Eurozone. The dollar, of course, has been rallying against that, and basically, you know, we're in a race to the bottom, I think, worldwide as each country tries to devalue their currency the quickest so they can stay competitive in the world market. So we're in a worldwide currency devaluation situation. It's been Europe's turn to devalue the euro. I suppose one of these days it'll be back our turn to devalue the dollar again. So we're printing money, all types of money and currencies being printed worldwide. So ultimately, one of these days, we're just going to wake up and we're going to find out that it just takes a lot of dollars to buy something, and it's just, that's just what it's going to be. So when you've got that kind of going on economically, I don't think you can necessarily rule out anything when it comes to commodity prices and food prices, because I think they will go along with inflation.
Turn your attention to the soybean market, please. What does it look like?
Soybeans, very similar, but probably, the correction was much deeper. The correction in this case was 138% of the advance that we had during the month of July and August. That was at the 12-12 level. We actually slipped a penny or two below that in last night's trade, went down to 12.09. Now we've come back and closed higher. Today's reversal probably looks a little better on the chart than Monday's reversal did. Mm-hmm. Also, we do have what I would call as a bullish divergence on the 9-day RSI and 14-day stochastic indicator. So I think the timing, at least from a technical perspective, is ripe for a rally. Also, when you look at an average seasonal pattern on soybeans, soybeans year in and year out make seasonal lows during the first week of October, first 10 days, and begin to roll up. So I think seasonally, technically, oversold conditions, the market is maybe ripe for something to kind of begin to at least level out here. Might even begin to kind of kick up to the upside, but the all-important October crop report is going to be the report that probably is if we're going to kick it up, you're going to have probably a surprise in the October crop report.
What about China and their potential to import soybeans, especially from the United States? Will they be in the market as large as they have been in the last couple of years?
Well, they're going to be in the world market as large as they were. I mean, I mean, they're feeding their people, improving their diet, so I really don't see any back off there. I mean, we had a nice weekly export sales number here this morning, went over 1 million tons. But now for the year, though, when you look at total commitments, we're still lagging. We're down 24% from where we were a year ago. So we have a lot of catching up to do. But I think A lot of that will probably depend upon the South American crop, and of course their growing season is early beginnings of their growing season is underway. We'll have to kind of see how things pan out in Brazil and Argentina and whether or not they have a big crop. But these price levels are definitely going to encourage increased plantings in South America. But weather, as we all know it, is still the main important factor in growing a big crop.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, if you get the opportunity, visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the ag news for the afternoon right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, German lawmakers today approved by a wide margin legislation to boost the scope and size of the Eurozone's rescue fund in a major step toward tackling the bloc's sovereign debt crisis. Lawmakers passed the reform of the European Financial Stability Facility with 523 yes votes, while 85 lawmakers voted no and 3 abstained. All 17 Eurozone governments have to approve the expansion, which will boost the fund's lending capacity to $595 billion and expand its powers to allow it to extend credit lines to banks and buy bonds on the secondary market. Tyson Fresh Meats Incorporated is recalling about 131,300 pounds of ground beef because a family in Ohio fell ill after eating meat produced by the company that was contaminated with E. coli. The recall involves beef sold as Kroger brands at Kroger Company supermarkets, butcher's beef at Food Lion supermarkets, and generic beef sold to Save-A-Lot, Spectrum Foods, SuperValu, and the Defense Commissary Agency. Tyson produced the affected meat at its plant in Emporia, Kansas, on August 23rd. A report released Wednesday by Feeding America, a hunger relief organization, finds that food banks that were originally created to serve as stopgap emergency food providers are now taking a long-term, chronic role for Americans turning to them routinely to get enough to eat. The organization's Hunger in America 2010 report, The Food Banks, Hunger's New Staple, found through data compiled in 2009 that 18% of those surveyed said they used food pantries 6 to 12 months of the previous year, while 36% said they used them every month. The survey also found that among those 65 years and older, 56% went to a food pantry every month. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy grew slightly more than previously reported in the second quarter, helped by consumer spending and export growth that was stronger than earlier estimated. Gross domestic product grew at an annual rate of 1.3%, up from the previously estimated 1%. The report also showed after-tax corporate profits rising at a 4.3% rate in the second quarter. Profit ticked up 1/10 of a percent in the first quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can always find on our website. The address there is www.willag.org. If you prefer to pick us up off your mobile phone, you can do that, too, on our mobile website. The address is m.willag.org. Do not use the www in front of that. And you can always hear us, if you'd like, just on your regular phone at 217-333-3434. We update it at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with a bit of analysis and either the opening or the closing market numbers.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We're joined now by Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt. First, start off with any kinds of grains or oilseeds you've been taking in. Have things dried out enough for people to move?
Yeah, beans are just now starting to come in again here this afternoon. And, you know, people really didn't take too much time off on corn. There was maybe a tenth or two every day around here, whether it be in the evening or whatnot. Guys were able to kind of work around it. So I wouldn't say there's been a ton of progress this week, but it hadn't been slowed to a halt either.
Have conditions in the cornfields allowed them, you told me this, to bring in some grain, but have they been happier with their yields than they were expecting to be?
It just depends. I mean, really, there's a wide variety. We were hearing a lot earlier. The earlier planting corn, guys are real happy with. Some of this later planting corn, I think guys are still fairly happy with it compared to their expectations, but there's been several guys that weren't happy at all as well. So it's a pretty wide range this year.
Wide range in the soybean crop, too, or is it better than expected?
Well, I haven't heard a lot of bean yields just yet. I mean, there's several fields that are getting worked on here now, but before the rain, there wasn't very many of them at all. And I'd say most guys that cut beans before the rain, you know, as a general rule, they're pretty happy with their yield. So,
the end users in need of grain?
Well, I mean, it just depends on where you're at. There's areas where there's not a whole lot of harvest going on. I know we talked about this several months ago with us being tight going into the fall. There was going to be regional areas where basis was going to be awfully hot, and there is right now. You know, out in Ohio, there's not a whole lot of harvesting going on. You know, they had such a late start, so there's areas like that where, you know, some of the rail bids have been pretty hot.
And how about in your area?
Well, in our area, you know, basis is holding fairly good. You know, actually, for being getting the harvest progress that we've gotten, basis is still fairly good. I mean, our cash price at 620, you know, it isn't too far under the board, 13 cents. So that's pretty good right here in the glut of harvest.
When you look out, is there enough carry in the marketplace that producers are willing to store, or are they just wanting to sell?
Well, early on, most guys were selling. After this break in prices, I don't know if it's just because of the break in prices or maybe they had enough sold. Most guys, you know, more than 50% are storing at this point. I'd say we were 90% selling the first 2 weeks of harvest. So, you know, I don't know. If you look out here, there is some carry in the market. It's not an exorbitant amount. So it's just depends on the individual producer, and a lot of it depends on their tax needs.
And your bids for the dam?
Cash corn, 620, and Jan would be 636. Cash beans, 11.95, and Jan, 12.16.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Windsor Grain. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday, Thursday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Mocha Day. The mocha's roots is not in espresso steamed milk and chocolate, but rather a coffee bean with a chocolatey taste native to Ethiopia. It was Marco Polo that introduced the mocha bean to Europe and then the world. It's also St. Michael's Day, patron of grocers and bankers. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Herman Biggs was born. An American physician, He pioneered the use of bacteriological studies in the field of public health for the prevention and control of contagious diseases. In 1860, Chapman Aaron Harris died. He was a co-founder of the first dental school in the world, the Baltimore College of Dental Surgery. In 1913, Rudolf Diesel died, a German thermal engineer. He invented the internal combustion engine that bears his name. He patented his concept in 1892. 21 years later, he threw himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer in 1913 after having lost control over his invention and after receiving a great deal of criticism in the German engineering journals for his theories. And in 2008, following the bankruptcies of Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 777.68 points, the largest single-day point loss in its history. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Meteorologist Peter Levitt is not available. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service. Scattered showers for this afternoon in the area. Mostly cloudy for Urbana-Champaign with a high of 81 degrees. Breezy with a west-northwest wind at about 22 to 24 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 39. Chance of precipitation set at 30% for today. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 48. Again, it'll be breezy with a northwest wind at 15 to 22, gusting to 33. And tomorrow during the day, mostly sunny skies, a high of 63. Breezy, north-northwest winds at 16 to 21. Gusting to 31. Friday night, clear and cool, a low of 41 with a north wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour, gusting to 15. And for Saturday, homecoming here in Urbana-Champaign, the Fighting Illini take on the Wildcats from Northwestern with a sunny sky and a high of 60 degrees. North winds at about 9 to 11 miles an hour Saturday night, mostly clear, and a low of 39 degrees. Now, up next, you know, farmers and ranchers are in the midst of the harvest season, and they have one of the most dangerous, actually the most dangerous job in the nation. I'll tell you about the typical row crop farm injury and its cause. If you think about it for just a moment, you can probably guess what the number one cause of injuries is on the farm. Without a doubt, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Safety Specialist Bob Aharon, it's machinery.
Well, the number one injury, not necessarily fatality, is getting caught in moving machinery components when we're trying to make some kind of adjustment or unplugging a machine, and we get caught in it. We really should be shutting the equipment down whenever we do any kind of close interaction with the machine because of the, again, the risk of getting entangled or caught in some component of it.
Putting your hand or foot in a moving machine is a good way to lose it. Please, please shut that machine down before trying to fix it. And farmers and their employees should not, for a moment, think their lives aren't at risk during the harvest season. 500 to 800 people die every year in farm accidents. Bob Aharon says some of those happen later in the year when producers are working to empty grain bins, but not all of them.
The other kind of area of fatalities is on the roadway. When we're moving our equipment on the road, and usually the fatalities occur occasionally to farmers, but the other driving public who run in the back of our wagons, combines, field cultivators. And it's very important that we drive defensively, that we make sure, first of all, we recommend not having our equipment, moving equipment at night if at all possible. The risk is much higher because it's harder for people to see us and see how wide we are. But if whenever we're moving, day or night, that we make sure we have flashing lights on our equipment so people can more readily see us. That dramatically increases a person's recognition of you. We must have a good SMV emblem, too, so that in Illinois it requires an emblem that meets American Society of Ag and Biological Engineering standards. It's, you know, kind of a technical term, but 276.4 or greater because or 0.5 or greater, that emblem is a newer emblem that's visible at 1,000 feet, and that's required to be on all farm equipment in Illinois as of 2004 when we're moving on a public roadway. The older emblems are only visible at 400 feet.
On the subject of roadways, traffic needs about 1,000 feet of warning to avoid a slow-moving vehicle, front and back. On curvy roads, the only way to accomplish this is to have a lead and trailing vehicle. And one final note, this one on tractors. Only half of the farm tractors used in the United States are equipped with life-saving rollover protective structures with seat belts. Safety. It's not just something to think about. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.